Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
We're glad you could join us for this edition of the Lions Den University Report. It is our privilege and pleasure to travel around the country with our portable microphones and interview dedicated followers of Christ on our university and college campuses and to hear what's going on spiritually. Many of the campuses, of course, have a rich Christian heritage, and we do encourage our listeners to pray for revival on the campuses, that there might be a new move of God in places that are many times today very hostile, why we call our program the Lion's Den, like Daniel going into the Lion's Den, even for administrators and faculty, leaders of the university, to live their faith and share their faith is sometimes almost dangerous. And today we have a man who's a speaker on many of the campuses and has written an intriguing book on I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And Frank Turek is my guest for this broadcast in our next edition. And Frank, welcome to the program today.
Thanks for having me on, Glenn.
And you're with crossexamined.org, is that correct?
Yeah, crossexamined with a D on the end of it, .org. What we do is we present evidence for Christianity. We cross-examine ideas against it. We go to a lot of college campuses, high schools, churches, and present that. And we also have TV and radio. We're on DirecTV, Channel 378. On radio, we're on the American Family Radio Network. And it's all can be accessed through our website, crossexamined.org, and an app. We have an app. The free cross-examined app has everything on it you want to know, including a quick answer section. So people can have answers to their objections to Christianity right there on their phone.
Great.
So it's a way that we try and connect, particularly with the kids, because, you know, young people on a college campus, 90% of the information they get off their phones.
Right. Okay.
So that's where we are.
Sure. All right. Well, it's we're trying to keep up to speed with our radio program here as well, and wondering if there's even going to be radio in a few years. But the technology is changing rapidly.
Yes.
And but the gospel never changes,
nope.
Does it?
And we just have a different method of getting to people. So radio is one great way of doing it. Radio is really good because people have to think on radio. They're not overcome with images,
right?
So you have to really think through the issues on radio. So you got to keep doing radio. And of course, you can put it on the internet, podcast.
Yep. Yeah, we have a lot of outlets we're developing too. And so a listener may be listening right now who never would have thought they'd be listening to two Christians talking as well. And they can do it in the privacy of their home or their car,
right.
And no one ever needs to know. But we hope they'll listen and listen carefully and think and hope maybe God's at work in their heart and drawing them to Him. But you've written a book that is kind of says a lot in the title,
right?
That why I'm not an atheist. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist.
Yeah, my co-author and I, Dr. Norman Geisler, who's written probably 80 books now, he's written more books than most people have read. He and I have written a couple of books together. One is called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, and that's typically what I present on a college campus. In fact, that's the way we advertise it. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. So when you call something, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, particularly on a college campus, you get everybody from Christians to atheists showing up and everybody in between.
Right.
And during the Q&A, it can be exciting because you get some atheists and other faiths showing up trying to take down the speaker. So it makes for an interesting evening.
I bet. And so what are some of the campuses you've been at in recent months?
Recent months, the past few months, I've been to University of Michigan, Ohio State, University of Texas at Dallas, SMU. Where else have I been? I was over at a college in South Africa, believe it or not.
Great.
And
so you definitely get around.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. We do this quite a bit. So I've been at Chapel Hill in North Carolina. In fact, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I'm 3 hours or so from there. And in the coming semesters, we're heading to Oklahoma University, OU, and probably some colleges out in California. So we're getting around pretty good.
Great. And they need exposure. You know, they talk about the university as being a place where there's freedom of expression, but you only hear one viewpoint generally.
Yeah, unfortunately, about 75% of young people, as you know, Glenn, go to college, Christians who go to college, they walk away from the church once they go to college. And the major reason or the number one reason they do it is intellectual skepticism. they've never been given any evidence that it's true. And of course, on a college campus, you're going to get decidedly atheistic and liberal viewpoints. You're not going to get very many Christian viewpoints. So they're talked out of their faith because they've never been talked into it. They've never been given evidence that it's true. And so what we do is we go into a college campus and we throw them a lifeline and say, hey, look, here's the evidence that Christianity is true. So we're there to encourage the Christians and put a stone in the shoe of the skeptics.
Right. Okay. And most Christians today, even their attendance at church is sporadic. And then the Sunday schools are not doing a very good job of preparing
young people for the world. But you can't do it all at church anyway. This has to be a way of life. It's got to be 24/7, not just a couple hours on Sunday.
Right.
So especially when you think about all the culture taking people further and further away from God, you know, 2 hours on Sunday can't compete with the other 166 hours that are trying to take people away from the faith.
Right. Now, you say you don't have enough faith to be an atheist. That strikes probably a lot of atheists. Atheism mm-hmm. doesn't have any faith, mm-hmm. and that there's plenty of rational reasons to be an atheist. Why do you have that approach?
Well, actually, I think the least reasonable viewpoint is atheism. And one of the reasons it's the least reasonable viewpoint is because it makes reason impossible. You say, how so? Because most atheists today are materialists. In other words, they believe everything's made of molecules. There is no immaterial realm, which means there is no soul, which means there is no mind. There's just a brain. And we are governed completely by the laws of physics. Well, if we're governed completely by the laws of physics, if we're nothing but moist robots, why should we believe anything is true? Why should we believe atheism's true? We have no warrant to believe it's true. So atheism is the least rational viewpoint because it literally makes reason impossible. There's no reason to believe anything is true if atheism is. If we're just moist robots, we're not really thinking, we're just reacting. So
right.
I think atheism is the least reasonable viewpoint, not the most reasonable viewpoint.
And yet they wouldn't agree with you, of course. They think that all the facts of science in particular point to the world being just an entity to itself. But I remember we had Mike B on our mm-hmm. Program, and he would say that he was amazed how important so many evolutionists think it is to prove that life isn't important.
Yeah, that's so, right. Well, I would argue that, first of all, science doesn't say anything. Scientists do. In fact, the new book that I've just written called Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case points that out, that science doesn't say a thing. There would be no science if there was no human mind. Science is a method we use as people to try and discover cause and effect relationships. No data gathers itself or interprets itself. So science doesn't say a thing. Scientists do. And the problem is many scientists are atheistic in their philosophy, which means it doesn't matter what the evidence seems to point to or where the evidence seems to point. They've already ruled out intelligence before they look at the evidence.
Right.
So atheism is a result of their philosophical bias, not a result of the evidence. In fact, I think science is impossible without a being like God. You say, how so? Because why is the universe so orderly? Why are natural laws so consistent and precise?
Sure.
Because there's a mind behind them. This is not a random universe. This is an orderly universe. And it needs to be orderly because you can't do science unless you have an orderly universe. So science, I think, itself points back to the existence of a being like God.
Right, right. And down to even the minutest particles to the largest galaxies, there's orderliness and design that's exhibited. And yet it's missed. I mean, even DNA is described as a language.
Well, of course it is.
What language comes from an accidental arrangement of letters?
Yeah, you don't get information from natural forces. You get information from a mind. And the longest word we've ever discovered is the genome. I'm sure Michael Behe pointed this out. It's 3.5 billion letters long. It's in every one of our 40 trillion cells. And a message that long requires a messenger. In fact, Bill Gates, who, as you know, is no Christian, said human DNA is like a software program, but it's far more complicated than anything we've ever developed at Microsoft. Hmm. Well, look, where I come from, if there's a program, there must be a programmer.
Right.
If there's a code, there must be a coder. If there's a message, there must be a messenger.
Sure. Okay. And you're taking this skepticism of atheism to the campuses to try and shake some of the indoctrination program.
Of course, yeah. We're pointing out that you can't do science without philosophy. In fact, everything's built on philosophy. And yet many of the atheists out there are poo-pooing philosophy. Well, that's a philosophy itself. Right. They're trying to, like, who is it? Stephen Hawking in his book, The Grand Design, on page 5 says philosophy is dead. Yet the rest of the book is just pretty much philosophy. You can't do science without philosophy. It's built on philosophy. Right thinking about reality is one way to define philosophy. And as I mentioned before, you can't do science unless you have a mind to interpret the data. And how you interpret the data is what we call philosophy.
Hmm. Okay. Well, this is interesting. Now, you're coming in with this subject and you're broadcasting it to the student population and inviting anybody to come. What kind of audiences are you getting?
Oh, well, we get audiences. It depends on what the university is, but it depends a lot on the marketing on the campus. You know, if you can get a good marketing group out there, or, you know, you're getting posters on campus and that kind of thing, and word of mouth. And our recent, see, the last one I did was University of Michigan, and we had over 500 there.
Right.
So it was a pretty full house. And then we had about 300 or so at Ohio State, same thing. Standing room only at Chapel Hill, over 500. So it really just depends on the campus. Other campuses, you may just get 100. You may get 200. Mm-hmm. It really depends on what the marketing is on the campus.
Sure. It's not that it's not of interest. It's
right.
Whether the word gets out sufficiently
yeah.
or not.
Yeah.
And personally, I had some experience with a coach at Bucknell University, which is near where our flagship station is in State College, Pennsylvania, where Penn State is.
Mm-hmm.
But Bucknell had hosted you 2 or 3 years back.
Yes.
And Coach Wernsberger, who was on our program, he's a Christian head wrestling coach there, and helped with the Christian faculty and one of the campus groups to sponsor you, said after the meeting is when they got the flack, that a lot of the faculty attacked the allowing you to be on campus. Mm. And even he said the chaplain got some emails that it was unforgivable.
Mm. In the name of inclusion and diversity.
Right.
We can't include this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think you were the one, or maybe the coach said, some young gal got saved at that event. So,
yeah, and he didn't know that till a good deal later.
Uh-huh.
And so he was wondering, had we had a success or a failure? And sure enough, the Lord had one of the students show up at their faculty group and say that she had accepted Christ at your meeting there.
Well, a lot of times you don't get that immediate response.
Right.
You're just planting seeds that maybe will sprout later. But Bucknell was a good crowd. It was a full house at Bucknell, I remember.
Yeah, and I heard that they had standing room only in the room, the auditorium that they had used.
Yeah, in fact, you said Penn State. I think we're looking at coming to Penn State in January of 2016.
Great.
So that's about a month from where we are, a month and a half or so. So hopefully that'll come together. It's in late January. Our website will have the details if it does come together, crossexamined.org, crossexamined with a D on the end of it.
Right. Okay. And so you're open to questions. It's not like
we want questions.
Can't be attacked challenged and hasn't been. It has been challenged and stood the test.
Sure. Absolutely. No, we have plenty of time for questions. In fact, the questions are the funnest part of the whole deal.
Right, great, right. And we'll talk a little bit more about what responses you've been getting and also the reasons why we believe the Bible to be true and Christ to be the Savior in our next segment together. And my guest for this broadcast has been Frank Turek, a speaker on university campuses and across the country, co-author of the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, with Norm Geisler. And Frank, we're privileged to have you on our program today. You're speaking here. We're at a conference on apologetics here in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. And thank you for joining us for this broadcast.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to the next one.
You have been listening to the Lions Den University Report. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lions Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lions Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844, or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.